Good morning and welcome to Brass Tacks Sunday. With me, my producer, Dennis Johnson, and I'm your host, Corey Lane. And we go until 1:15 this afternoon, as usual. Today, we are talking about data protection, data privacy, and cybersecurity. And let me set the parameters for this program this morning so we understand where we are and where we're going. The intention of today's program is basically to start the conversation with you, our listeners, about the topic of data protection, cybersecurity, and the like. And then we'll kind of dive more into each specific aspect of it. But we want to give you a broad understanding of what it is we mean when we talk about data security, when we talk about cybersecurity, when we talk about these things. So that as we move forward, as we go forward as a society, that we are well informed. And that's basically what we're looking at this morning. Now, many of you listening, you would appreciate that we're doing more business online. We're preparing for a new identification card, and there's some discussion around that. And many of us for years, but more so in recent times, we have our concerns about our financial information, our medical information, locations. We hear about government websites in particular being hacked for fun. We know about, you know, when we download an app, we see the terms and conditions and we just click accept because ain't nobody got time to read all of that. So today we're looking at what implications are there for that data, the data protection, the privacy and cybersecurity. I want to start with looking at the terms, but before I do so, I'll introduce you to a panel. I call it an expensive panel, although each of them being contacted at the very last minute, I want to thank them at the outset for agreeing to do this show because I had something different lined up for you. And just yesterday, I had to reach out and start networking, all pun intended. And I was able to come up with a very high-level team I'm very proud to bring to you this morning. In doing my research, one of the things that I also recognize is that a team like this comes at a very high cost. And why do I say that? I look at some seminars and so on in this particular topic. And people actually had to pay just to hear one of these guests. And here you have about six of them, free of cost, all compliments of Voice of Barbados and Williams Industries Incorporated. So I'm very happy this morning. I'm very pleased to introduce to you our panel of experts and practitioners in this field. And I'll start with Sherianne Walker. And I want you to take a listen to, you know, and pay attention to who we have in the studio. I'll introduce to them or who we have online. And I'll talk a bit more of them as we go through the show. But at the outset, I really want to dive into who you're listening to, their backgrounds. And I want you to pay attention. You know, sometimes you read a bio and it goes through one ear and come through the next. But I want you to understand the background so you understand where we're going with this discussion and this series of discussions on your data, your protection, and how safe you are in cyberspace. Sherianne Walker obtained her LLB from the University of the West Indies Cave Hill campus in 2014 and subsequently her legal education certificate from the Norman Manley Law School in 2016. Sherianne was called to the Barbados Bar in 2016 and she is currently an associate with Willoughby and Associates Attorney at Law. She has advised and represents a number of areas including contract law, e-defamation, privacy law, and on the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation, the GDPR. She has also appeared before the Caribbean Court of Justice, the CCJ, in which a successful landmark judgment was obtained. Sherianne has a keen interest in information technology law, data protection, and privacy law, and Sherianne has most recently appeared before on behalf of the Barbados ICT Professionals Association as a co-panelist for discussion on data protection, the Data Protection Act, and what it means for businesses. She also part of a team that prepared written submissions on behalf of the Barbados Bar Association on the said Data Protection Bill 2019, which was sent to Joint Select Committee of Parliament in Barbados. Sherianne is a legal technology advocate and has written articles on cybersecurity awareness for legal practitioners and on the practice management solutions for attorneys at law. She otherwise regularly writes on legal technology developments, primarily affecting the Caribbean region. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to have on our panel this morning, Ms. Sherianne Walker. And Sherianne, again, I want to thank you very much and welcome you to the discussion.
Thanks for having me, Corey.
Thank you for being here. Next, we have Mr. Dwight Robinson. And Dwight is the president of the Barbados chapter of the ISSA. Now, what is the ISSA? It is the Information System Security Association. He's also the Assistant Manager of Risk Advisory at Deloitte Barbados. He has over 12 years' experience in information risk management, primarily the external audit, and 7 years' experience in enterprise system management. His experience in information risk around financial organizations in Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. He's currently the lead manager in the domain of privacy at Deloitte Barbados and makes monthly presentations on the topic of privacy at the Barbados ISS chapter. Dwight has a master's degree in cybersecurity, a bachelor's degree in information systems, and also is a certified information systems auditor, CISA. Equally, it is my pleasure to have you, Mr. Dwight Robinson, in this discussion this morning, educating our fellow Barbadians and further afield. So welcome to the discussion.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Okay. No stranger to me at all. We sat side by side in primary school, and now we are here on this topic of data security. Mr. Dwayne Bishop, he is the CEO. He's Dwayne's previous experience include hands-on and creative art directions for various companies like Pfizer, JP Morgan, City University of New York, Colgate, Palmolive, Barbados Tourism Authority, St. Lucia Tourism Board, Floyd Design Associates, Risk Magazine, and Wiretsat Magazine, to name a few, with an extensive list of clients from Tokyo to Africa, the Caribbean to North America, and spanning multiple industries such as banking, tourism, fashion, and education. He continues to promote ideas that are key for powerful solutions in the web, mobile, packaging, print, and publication design. Dwayne is also an avid speaker on topics that span digital media, user experiences, user interfaces, design, and many more. Dwayne is also a board member of the charitable organization, the Caribbean Tourism Organization Foundation, Foundation that raises money to help students in the Caribbean to study in North America, Canada, and Europe. My good friend, Dwayne Bishop, good morning and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
He also has one of his teammates with him, Ratna Kaluru, and he is the Chief Technical Officer along with Dwayne. He's on the call too as well. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
Thank you for having
and
me.
And last but by no means least, we have Mr. Andrew Dixon. He currently holds the position of Vice President of Enterprise and Cybersecurity and is based in Barbados. In this position, he manages a team of security practitioners consisting of security consultants, security architects, and security engineers. This team provides end-to-end security services, beginning with the initial consultancy to establishing a security posture, then designing and implementing a suitable solution which is certified by the vendor of choice. Andrew has worked over 30 years in information technology, which spans a wide background of application development, database, unified communications, networking, and security. Andrew has held numerous positions with different companies in the capacity of supervisor, senior consultant, lead architect, and integration manager. He holds a master's degree in computer science from the University of the West Indies and holds various industry certifications ranging from vendor-specific advanced certifications such as, get this, the CCNP, security from Cisco to vendor neutral certifications such as the CISSP from the ISC2 and the CISM from ISACA. And what does all those initials mean? It means he knows a lot about cybersecurity. Andrew Dixon, welcome, and it is a pleasure to have you.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Right. As I said at the outset, and I really usually don't spend that much time looking at bios, but this morning I felt it was really important for our listeners to understand the level and team that we've brought together to start the discussion with them in relation to a very important topic as we go forward, the protection of our data, our privacy, and our operating space within the cyber world. So let's get down to brass tacks as we look at these issues. And again, I want to thank you guys and Lady. Now, the first thing I want someone to do in this discussion is to tell the listening public, what is data? I mean, someone with a simple question, but I know I understand there's a difference between information and data. And then you could go into different sectors. So when we are talking about data, who's going to go first? Who is going to tell the public what is data?
I see ladies first in this case. Dwight here. I'll see ladies first. Sherrianne, if you want to go first, I can let you speak on that one.
Sure, Dwight. I'll go ahead and go first. All right. So basically, data is more or less information. And so in the context of data protection, and we're talking about the Data Protection Act, data is information that can be identified with a particular individual. So what do I mean here? So your name, address, if you have national identification number, all of those things can speak to you as a personally identifiable information. So that more or less is what data is all about. I don't know if somebody else can provide an additional summary here.
Right, I'll say that's more so.
Dwight saying Lady is gone first, I'll let you go second.
Right, I'll say that's more like a privacy-based definition of it. In the purest definition, I'll say that data is basically unformatted information. So it's just information as in any kind of form, is not very structured, is no way that you can actually really draw information from it, in terms of draw any decision-making context from it. On the other hand, information now is formatted data. It's been processed, it's been churned, it's been filtered in such a way that it then make an informed decision, and then use it in some meaningful purpose.
Yes. And I would just add the technical side, that data is just facts. It's just attributes that describe something. And unless you correlate that data against something, then it becomes information.
Okay. Dwayne, you had sent me something interesting in relation to the difference between data protection, data privacy, and so on. So let's summarize that, and then I'll get on to another part of the discussion before we actually bring in the public, that I know they have their questions as well.
Right. So data security is actually protecting your information in the database, and the privacy is how people access, who accesses that information and when. And so the two are correlated. There's the parts of the life cycle of data privacy, but the security is actually the front line to stop persons from having access to that from a company's system or government or something like that. So they're part of the same life cycle, and they're different types of data as far as, you know, the television that you watch. People track that data, the educational data, the financial, the internet, how you browse, what you browse, locational data. We know Google, they track your location, and they use that information. And then one of the very sensitive ones is the medical information, that you know medical records and stuff like that. So, you know, data is broken on different categories, but the security is really trying to stop threats and from, you know, from accessing that information to do harm to a particular individual.
All right. So one of the things I didn't remember to say at the outset is that one of the things we're going to do and going forward is we're talking to a wide cross section of people, and we're going to break this down to make sure that the broadest level of persons listening to the discussion this morning understands what it is we're talking about. When I look at videos that circulate around the same WhatsApp and certain things, and I look at and listen to discussions, some people have concerns about things like the location settings within our phones. We can be traced and tracked from our phones. One of the concerns that persons highlight about this is the fact that a lot of these applications tend to be opt-out. For instance, with the COVID-19 tracking, update was placed on our phones without many of our knowledge, and it's something you had to opt out of, say, like, for instance, I don't want to be in it, as opposed to opt in and say this is something I want to be a part of. So I want to break down for, in terms of people listening, how can I secure myself? How can I be more knowledgeable about those types of things? What kind of advice would you give to the listening public? And I can say at this point, we're having a discussion. I don't have like a question and answer. So anybody could jump in. It's only when two and three people jumping in, then my job becomes important.
I could probably jump in here. And I'll say that in terms of when you use a service like WhatsApp or any free service, you have to ask the question, exactly why are they giving this for free? And the reality is that if someone is giving you a free service, there must be something that is in return for them to make a profit. You know, WhatsApp is owned by Facebook. And as a business, they've invested heavily in terms of purchasing this company and using it. And eventually, at some point, they want to monetize it into revenue. In terms of using a service like WhatsApp or anything that's free, it's important to, of course, read the terms. It's not just a matter of saying, yes, I agree, and then you go straight into using the application. But you must take some time to understand exactly what kind of information did this get from me? How is it being used? And fortunately for us, with GDPR and, the European Data Privacy Regulation, we've seen a lot more information being available in terms of understanding exactly what you're agreeing to as part of these terms. Like, it's not just a matter of having legal definitions in these user acceptance, user end user agreements overall. It's more so a more defined, more easy to read and understand terminology that's there now. So you can actually take some time and read it. Fortunately for us, a lot of persons have actually gone ahead and analyzed these details online, and you can actually read about exactly what you're agreeing to.
Yeah. So it starts with actually reading what is the opt request, but then the other part is understanding what you have read, because even if we take the Facebook WhatsApp relationship, there are several interpretations going on right now, and it's still an active debate on what exactly they're asking you to opt in or opt out of, and then it then becomes suspicious, because they tell you if you don't opt in, then you'll have to remove the app or it will be disabled. So most people just somehow get coerced into accepting, and that could very well be the similar behavior that other apps will take as well. But as you said, the first step is to read what is being asked, and if you're not sure, consult with somebody know, or somebody have an opinion, and at least with multiple opinions, you can make your own decision from there, was the best way.
No, it's funny that you said that, Andrew, because I look at your WhatsApp and it says, you know, you're opting out of WhatsApp and going over to Signal. And as a cybersecurity guy, are you doing this? You got me asking how safe is WhatsApp? I look at the opt out now too. So how safe are really these platforms that we are using? Because if you are the experts, you have this suspicion, you know, the back end, you know, all these various things, and you may not be fully comfortable with it. I think we as lay people, we got to be worried. So talk to me, Ant. How safe are these platforms that we're using?
these messaging platforms, well, it is as safe as the permissions that you grant these applications to your device that you're using them from. That's pretty much the short answer. And if you notice, when you first install a lot of these messaging apps, including Signal, Telegram, WhatsApp, and the likes, they all say they need access to your photos, videos, message, notes, contacts, and so on. They didn't say what they plan to do with that access, but they did ask for it. So it is all about what reputation that this company have that you will decide to trust or not. When WhatsApp came out, WhatsApp said, we are free and we'll always be free. And that's the agenda, is just to let people talk to each other until they were bought by Facebook, and Facebook didn't release what their plans were. A lot of the other platforms declare their intention to monetize this service at some point, and they will monetize just the participation of it. And that way you can see a roadmap and you can say, I'm going to be paying to use this platform, therefore I have some recourse if somehow my information gets out. Because I'm a paid customer, I do have something to say, or I do have some channel to start a discussion. As it relates to WhatsApp now, for us personally, Our interpretation is that the WhatsApp opt-out or opt-in request that is on the table is really specifically towards the WhatsApp business platform, the WhatsApp business interactions, where any engagement with WhatsApp business entity will be tracked, and that information will then be shared with Facebook, so that you, because your information is also shared with Facebook, they will then decide how to use that to get you interested in whatever ads or streams they want to position to you. And because they also have access to your contacts, they will decide how to use it accordingly. But according to them, the actual text, the actual interactions, the actual data that you're sharing is not going to be seen because it's end-to-end encrypted. And that's a big word. I guess we'll get to that at some point, Corey. But what they're tracking is who you're talking to from a WhatsApp entity perspective, when, and so on.
But now let's get to that now, because I see Dwayne, let you come in. We talk about end to end. We saw that there was there and people feel a lot safer. Like, for instance, there are some people who would give you a WhatsApp call as opposed to a normal call, saying it's more secure and the like. So this end to end, what does this mean? How safe is it? What, just talk us through it.
Okay, so end-to-end encryption means then that the communication or the data exchange between the two parties are supposedly encrypted, meaning that I will encrypt my data and you will have the keys to decrypt it. So therefore, anybody listening on the platform or listening in on the wire, as they call it in the old telephony terms, they will just see garbage. They will just see encrypted data. And unless they have the key, they won't be able to decrypt it. That's why we keep pushing this term end-to-end encrypted. It is between the two ends, the two parties that are actually having the conversation. So from that perspective, it is deemed to be secure or more secure than just a clear voice communication.
All right, Dwayne, you wanted to say something on this. Come in.
Well, I was going to, it's an interesting point that Andrew brought up, simply because these platforms, as he mentioned, are free. They allow you to use it. And these companies have made large sums of money because of data. Data is an extremely valuable thing. So, you know, there's pros and cons for data usage and for companies like us that build these applications. We try to make the user experience a little bit better. You don't want to have ads and different things that are irrelevant. And so they will use that argument to say, hey, we need to understand what it is that you are more inclined to see or to use or to buy. And therefore, that information will use that to, you know, to be able to give you a better user experience, et cetera, et cetera. However, the big caveat is that it's free. So I have the rights to do whatever I want to do with my data. And they all sell your data. You know, no matter what it is, they're going to sell it because, like Dwight said, it's all about monetizing it. Interesting enough, when you give the software manufacturer or developer rights to your camera and your mic and location, they have to send that information to be approved by Apple or Google in the submission process to these stores. So they would have to write a description as to why you have it. If not, you'd be rejected. And so that's an interesting thing, because Apple and whoever in the app stores, they know why they're doing it. Maybe there's another reason, but the reason that they would have sent in and submitted for approval would somehow indicate why we're looking to have that. And there, you know, app can do multiple things. So, you know, I might need location devices. If you don't want somebody to track your location devices, but you want to share a photo, you have to give me access to your photos. So you turn off location devices and you allow access to your photos. So there's certain ways that you can protect yourself. And then in terms of the encryption, for a layman, I would say it's kind of like scrambling it. You take in all these letters and you scramble it like a Scrabble board, but only the person who's getting or receiving that information, they can unscramble it. So to some degree is a protection mechanism. The other part of that, though, is the person who's building the application obviously has to build the application with the understanding of how to decrypt it. And that person would be the said WhatsApp and other people, because if they don't know how to decrypt it and something goes wrong, then they can't fix the problem. So you have to be cautious and aware of that as well.